And thank you all. Please be seated. Wow, you know, I look out there and you know what I see? Nothing but Christ everywhere I look. So bless your hearts. And of course, bless your hearts on the Believers Line and Facebook Live. This is modern technology, so we reach far and wide these days. This morning, I'm going to kind of wrap up our theme of relationships. But of course, relationships don't end, do they? I'm going to be sharing on a topic I'm calling the relationship of the body of Christ. But maybe that should just be our relationship with one another. So you can take your Bibles this morning and go to Philippians chapter 2. We'll start there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And here's the next verse. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." That sets a pretty high standard, doesn't it? I like to phrase it another way. Quit complaining. We live in a society where it's very difficult and nearly impossible to find someone who just, for the most part, does not complain. And if you find that person, they tend to stand out. They stand out amongst the rest. But there's a book out there called The Complaint-Free World. Some of you probably have heard of that book. And in that book, there's a challenge to not complain about anything for 21 days straight. Think you can do it? It's not that easy. Not that easy. You know, they say it takes 21 days to establish a habit pattern. And that's why this challenge is 3 weeks. But the exhortation in God's Word is to do all things without murmurings and disputings. But I guarantee you, after we're done this morning, someone out there, maybe even me, I'll put myself in the mix, someone is going to complain about something, guaranteed. And you know what? That affects people. In a positive way? No. Because you know what it says? Power of death and life are in the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's why, it's probably why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Because it's better to listen than to speak many times, right? But we are members of the body of Christ, the one body of Christ. There's not two bodies, there's one body. And we affect each other in a tremendously important way, far beyond what we can probably even understand. I mean, do you not see value in your life? You have value. And you just don't affect you. Because we live, I like to picture myself as like I'm living in my own bubble, and it's very hard to see things from outside of your own bubble. And then, of course, everything you do, everything you say, every step you take affects someone else. That's the reality. And then that person affects somebody else, and then that person affects somebody else, and it goes on and on and on. We're not an island. We're not by ourselves here. We are affecting other people. And we want to try our best to have a positive, godly, wonderful effect on people. You know, our relationship in the body of Christ is stated on this statement on screen. Love one another. One of the primary activities of the church should be one anothering one another. Who's ever heard that before? It's not a quick thing on Sunday mornings. Hey, how you doing? All right, nice to see you. Bye. And then move on. You know, the words one another are stated 59 times in the New Testament alone. And we're not going to go all over those, but there's some great exhortation and some great encouragement in God's Word and in the church epistles, especially in Ephesians and Colossians, because you know what? You know what Ephesians is? Ephesians is primarily the revelation that was given to Paul and the church about what? The body of Christ. The great mystery revealed. You know, it says in Corinthians that if the devil would have known, he would never have sacrificed the Lord Jesus. Remember, reading those verses in 1 Corinthians, right? Let's read it, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Jews and Gentiles would be joined together as joint heirs and full partakers of all that God has in mind, which is way beyond what any one of us can imagine. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is in verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the word unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is huge, guys. The way we get to partake in all of this is by the grace of God and the love of God. And all God says is to extend the same grace to one another. Absolutely. And to love one another. Hey, we need each other. That's the bottom line. And I know it may not feel like that at times. I may have an opinion about something that Al disagrees with, and then Bob is going to disagree with Al. Al's going to disagree with me. Guess what? I think Bob mentioned this on Wednesday. We put up with each other. We just do it. Because we all have differences of opinion. And yet, you know what? We may not even like each other at times. But the exhortation in God's Word doesn't say like one another. We don't have to like everything, you know, everybody else does. But guess what? The Spirit of Christ within that dwells inside each and every person that is born again of God's Spirit is exactly the same. And one member is no more important than the other. It's like a well-oiled machine. A machine, like a car. A car does not run if the battery's not working. Well, it's just one part, but it affects the whole entire thing. A number of years ago, I don't know if you guys remember this, we would play a song called I Need You to Survive. Maybe I should have played that today. Find it next time. Do you know what hurts Christians for the most part? Other Christians. We can take it from the world. We almost expect it. I walk out this door and I'm going to expect something to happen. But when a fellow brother or sister offends you, game over. You know, it says in Proverbs that a brother who is offended is harder to be won than a city. And that's why we have the ultimate example of forgiveness. Jesus on the cross forgiving those who crucified him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, can you imagine that? If I knew somebody was going to kill me, I have no idea what my response would be. But it wouldn't be that pleasant. But that's the solution. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. It's another love of Christ which passeth knowledge. You might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Yeah, it's really something, guys. We got a miracle working God. I mean, the dynamic of the body of Christ that God had in mind is far beyond any one of us. I mean, it's not your everyday event where someone is raised from the dead, where the lame can walk again, where the blind is able to see. Oh, what about Pentecost, right? Talk about a miracle. That's when we were all joined together as the one body. Guess what? On the day of Pentecost, we spoke a language that we never learned. Pretty miraculous. Now, I want to take a look at some verses that exhort us to live with one another. Okay? So we're in Ephesians. Go to chapter 4. You know, the heart of Ephesians is walking together in the mystery. We're living together as the one body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. What's another way of saying this? How about be patient? We put up with each other. We don't just have a short fuse after every little thing that goes on, right? It says, be patient. And maybe you yourself are not a patient person. Some things, I'm for sure not very patient. And I've heard people say that before. Yet it's a person with Christ in them. Jesus Christ, I know, was a very patient person. Maybe we, of ourselves, are not that patient. But the Christ in us is. All right. Verse 32 in Ephesians 4. Oh my gosh, look at this one. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Bingo! Now, there was a study that was done a number of years ago that was in journals and other Christian publications, that the two primary qualities that keep marriages together and, for the most part, other relationships as well, kindness and generosity. Think about someone else other than yourself. How do you express kindness? You know, many times, with your tongue, right? Your words. When you live under the same roof as another person, oftentimes it takes a bit of effort to keep this in mind, to be kind and generous. But here's the exhortation of the word, forgiving one another. Guess who benefits the most out of forgiveness? Yourself. You do. Because otherwise, you are the one carrying the burden of what someone else said or did to you. Maybe they didn't even know it. Maybe they don't even realize the effect they had on you. I guess, in other words, get over it. Move on. You know, it could have been the thing that was holding you back from whatever it is you were trying to do. Because we've all been there. We've all been there. So we've all been wounded, hurt, offended. The list goes on and on. You name it. But will we allow that hurt disappointment or discouragement continue to define us or who we are for the next number of years? Mm-mm. Forgiving one another. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Bam! Yeah. It's really something, guys. You know the word submitting, side note here, the word submitting has been used and abused many times over the years. But it's a very good word, right? It's a biblical term. And how interesting is it that this verse comes right before all God says about marriage between, you know, husbands and wives? I mean, you can go on and on here. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Be submitting. Submit yourselves. It's really something, guys. All right, Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 13. Here it is again. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also basically do the same thing. Maybe maybe that should be when we have quarrels. We get our heads together without being so emotional about it. And we work out the situation according to what the Word says. It also says in Ephesians chapter 4, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Because we're going to have disagreements. We have it all the time. Maybe hurt feelings. It's just, that's life. That's the physical life. But don't go and lock yourself in your bedroom for hours on end. Just try to get it cleared up as soon as possible. You know, when I was in school, right across the street, I was taught to do one thing that I would say absolutely applies to our day and time. The two words that I was taught multiple times per year, I don't know if they still teach this, I think they should. Be thankful. You know, that takes a bit of effort. That sets another pretty high standard. But I think it's worth the effort to be thankful. You can always find something or someone to be thankful for. It doesn't matter what the circumstances around that particular person or situation is, you will always find something to be thankful for. That's why God tells us to count our blessings. See? God is constantly exhorting us to love one another. And I have kind of a comprehensive list of God's one another commands. And I'm just going to kind of speed through these real quick. Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Build up one another. Be like-minded towards one another. Accept one another. Admonish one another. Greet one another. Care for one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. Speak the truth in love to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as we just read not too long ago. Submit to one another. Consider others better than yourselves? Look to the interests of one another. Bear with one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. A few more. Stir up one another to love and do good works. How about that one? Show hospitality to one another. Employ the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of one another. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Pray for one another. Oh, and last but not least, this is tough. This is very hard. Confess your faults to one another. I like to think of the analogy of the body of Christ being like a symphony orchestra. You know, a symphony orchestra has so many different types of instruments. Strings, brass, woodwinds, percussion. And they're all playing different things. Yet it all comes together to make the most beautiful sound. You know, just like that, our lives blend together seamlessly like a hand in a glove or like a symphony orchestra. I know Dan's going to appreciate that one. And if there's one thing that God loves, it's unity. Unity of the body of Christ. You know, the Christian church, this just makes me so sad. The Christian church is so divided and gets so focused on all of the things that are wrong, especially with doctrine. Doctrine, 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 doctrine. But those of us who have a great desire to see the mystery continue to be lived on, I think we have to get past that. Because guess what God does? He works in hearts around the world, whether they're into the accuracy and integrity of His Word or not. He works with every single person who honors Him in one way or another. So blessed the other night to an event with Mikases, and the speaker who was talking about his life, and really something. No doubt God was working in his life. He was a Trinitarian. Guess what? God's working in his life as well, big time. And true enough, it is important to stay sharp on the accuracy and integrity of God's Word. But God works in hearts, regardless of what the circumstances are. Because God is not a respecter of persons. And God loves unity. And that's our job, is to keep unity within the body of Christ. Because if not, that's how the enemy takes hold. That's how he gets in there and causes division. Guess what? We have differences of opinion. Get over it. God will work. Because at the end of the day, God's will be done. And the Word of God will reign supreme. So if there's one word to remember this morning, actually four words, unity and love one another. Amen? God bless you guys. Gracious Heavenly Father, I say this time and time again, but what a joy it is to be a part of your family. I mean, as we continue to work your word, Father, I can't just count all the miracles you have performed throughout history and the miracles that you continue to perform. And one of the greatest miracles I can probably mention is the fact that the mystery is revealed and we now have a family to partake in with so many blessings, so many responsibilities to live out, Father. And it's all for you. Because at the end of the day, we're all heaven-bound and hell can't stop us. So I pray for each heart here this morning and those around the world who are a part of your family. It's one body of Christ. So Thank you for all that you are to us, Father. You're the incredible dad you are. And it's in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you guys.